Excuse me, could I speak to a manager, please? Oh, you're the manager? Okay, if I may just share a little bit, I cannot believe how incompetent you people are here. I mean, no wonder you work here. Our order was very simple. We had two Big Mac meals and two Happy Meals. How in the world could you forget half of an order? Good grief.
Coach, do you have a minute? I have to ask you something. Where in the world did you learn how to coach baseball? Disneyland? Do you think this is just some big party and people are coming and just the outcome doesn't matter? Here I am trying to teach my boy to play hard and that his good work will be rewarded. And then you take him out of the game to put that kid in? That kid can't hit. He can't catch to save his life. What kind of example are you? And what kind of coach are you?
Hey, Bob. How's it going, man? Hey, when are you going to come rake up all these leaves over here? Well, it's pretty obvious that they came off your tree since I don't have any in my yard. I mean, the neighborly thing to do would be for you to come over and rake them up out of my yard, wouldn't it? Oh, I'm sorry, but you wouldn't know anything about what it means to be a good neighbor, right?
Oh, hey, come on back. You've got to be kidding me. After what we've been put through today, there's no way I'm tipping 15%. What gives you the right to just add it to my bill because I have a lot of people with me? It took you 35 minutes before you even let us sit down, and then another before we even got any water. I never thought anyone was even going to show up, so I'm surprised you're even here now. I'm sorry, I'm going to need to talk to your manager before I pay anything.
Excuse me. Hey, I'm sorry to bother you. I know you guys are busy, but it seems like somehow our order got messed up a little bit. Is there somebody here that might be able to help me with that? Thanks, I appreciate your time.
Coach, hey, got a minute? Sorry to bother you. I noticed that you pulled my son out around the fifth inning, so I'm just curious, was there something that happened that I don't know about, or was it just a matter of giving everybody a chance to play? Just curious if you could just let me know.
Hey, Bob, how's it going, man? Isn't it a beautiful day today? Wow, I just love being outside and being able to enjoy God's creation. None of us enjoy it when someone speaks mean to us or in a mean-spirited way or rudely. It doesn't matter whether it's online, in person, or even behind our backs. None of us enjoy mean-spirited communication. But when pushed to the edge ourselves and feeling like kindness is getting us nowhere, do we turn to unpleasant, disagreeable, and uncivil ways in order to communicate what we feel like we want to get across? Do we compromise kindness to get what we want, or do we compromise kindness in order to prevent losing what we have? Do we appear hostile and contemptuous? Do we intimidate people? Do we bully people? Do we use abusive speech against those that we're trying to influence? Or are we committed to speaking lovingly and respectfully, no matter what, because we have resolved to be a loving and respectful human being? As we continue our sermon series, Before You Hit Send, we're going to be moving on to the second question this morning. The second question that we must ask ourselves before we communicate to others. Now, the first question last week was the question, is it true? Is it true? Now, the second question is it kind? People hear your words of truth, but people feel your words of kindness. Did you hear that? People hear your words of truth, but people feel your words of kindness. In other words, they feel your love and respect when you show it to them. That's what speaking with kindness means. When you speaking with love and respect, you can be truthful all day long, but when you communicate truth without love and without respect, you're not communicating at all, because people will not listen to someone who is disrespectful and rude. So before we communicate, we not only need to ask the question, is it true? But we need to ask the question, is it kind? If you have your Bibles this morning, I invite you to look at the book of Colossians. We're going to pick up reading in chapter 3 where we left off last week. And then we're going to move over to chapter 4 and read a couple of verses from there. If you don't have your Bibles with you, you can read along with us on the screen. We'll be reading Colossians 3, starting in verse 12, going through 14, and then Colossians 4, verses 5 and 6. The Bible says, "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony." And then chapter 4, verse 5, Paul continues by saying, "Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." This morning, we're going to focus our attention on this last verse we find here in chapter 4, verse 6. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. There are three things that I want us to recognize this morning, and that is, number one, that our communication must be grace-filled. Number two, that our communication must be salt-cured. And number three, our communication will be character-revealing. First, let's look at our communication must be grace-filled. Now, this word grace that we see here in chapter 4, verse 6 is the same word in the original language that we have studied on many different occasions. It's the word charis. It is the word for God's unmerited favor. And that's how we have often defined this word, grace, is the unmerited favor of God, or God's riches at Christ's expense. However, the first definition in a Greek lexicon is not unmerited favor. The first definition in a Greek lexicon, the way that that word was used most often in the Koine or common Greek language of biblical times, the way it was used most often is that which affords joy, pleasure, delight, sweetness, charm, loveliness. Grace of speech. So when it talks about your words being gracious, it's saying that our words should be joyful, pleasurable, delightful, sweet, charming, and lovely. Our words should be gracious. Our communication should always be full of grace. Now, literally, that is saying our speech should always be in grace and yet seasoned with salt. Barclay translates Colossians 4, 6 this way. He said, "Let your speech always be with gracious charm, seasoned with the salt of wit, so that you will know the right answer to give in every case. Now he goes on and explains why he translates it this way. He said, here is an interesting injunction. It is all too true that Christianity in the minds of many is connected with a kind of sanctimonious dullness. Did you catch that? He said, a lot of people think Christianity is all about sanctimonious dullness. Boring, stodgy, stuck up, holy, holier than thou people. He said, but that's not the way it ought to be. He went on and said, well, let me start the sentence over. It's all too true that Christianity in the minds of many is connected with a kind of sanctimonious dullness and an outlook in which laughter is almost heresy. But the Christian must commend his message with the charm and wit which were in Jesus himself. God doesn't want us to be dull. God doesn't want us to be always somber. Yes, it's important that we have moments of solemnity, being solemn when we're worshiping our God, but the joy of the Lord is our strength. We don't need to be dull and boring. We need to enjoy life, and everything we need to that we say ought to bring joy and bring pleasure to others. You see, some people think that becoming a Christian means that they are going to have to give up everything in their life that is fun, right? Some of you are thinking, isn't that the way it is? Everything that's fun is sinful. It's the way a lot of people look at it. Being dull and boring is not requisite for Christianity. This scripture tells us that we need to be charming and witty when we speak. And along that same line of thinking, if we are to be witty and charming when we communicate, we cannot bring doom and gloom into every conversation. As a younger man, my nickname was Eeyore. And what's even more sad was the fact that I embraced it and celebrated it. Folks, we don't need to be loudspeakers for doom and gloom. There's enough doom and gloom in the world. We've got to bring joy and pleasure and happiness, charming communication into this world. Grace-filled communication is communication that is positive and that is affirming. And it's cultivated in relationships of trust and environments of grace. Not only is our communication grace-filled, but the way we respond to people is grace-filled, extending grace to those individuals on a regular basis. You see, being grace-filled and having grace-filled communication is frankly an attitude of the heart. Dr. Emerson Eggerichs conveys a story about a Christian Frenchman in World War II who was caught and imprisoned for harboring Jews during the war. And I want to read what he wrote about this Frenchman. Dr. Eggerichs said, he was brought before a German officer known as the torturer. As this godly Frenchman entered the presence of the Nazi officer, the peace of Christ flooded his soul. A peace that passes all comprehension, as the Bible reveals. This officer observed his tranquil expression and interpreted it as snideness. Now, some of you may not know what snideness is, okay? Google it. He interpreted it as snideness. He went on, everyone else who stood in his presence manifested total fear. And so this soldier of the Gestapo screamed out, get that snide look off your face. Don't you know who I am? There was a brief pause, and the Frenchman humbly replied, yes, sir, I know who you are. You are the man known as the torturer. And you have the power to torture me, and you have the power to kill me. And then he stepped forward, taking a step toward the officer, and he kindly said, but sir, you do not have the power to get me to hate you. Grace. Grace extended when grace was undeserved. In much the same way, folks, the heart of our communication must mean that the other person cannot get my heart to be unkind, unloving, or disrespectful. It's not about what they did or who they are. It's about me and the attitude of my heart. How can I communicate what is true and what is necessary and what is clear without other people feeling that I am unkind? That is the question we must ask ourselves. As we consider, is what I'm about to say, is what I'm about to text, is what I'm about to post kind, or is it disrespectful? And then we've got to ask ourselves, if this is unkind, how can I extend grace to this person? Even though they don't seem to deserve it. In my opinion, they really don't seem to deserve it. But how can I extend grace to this person? Our communication must be grace-filled. Secondly, our communication must be salt-cured. Salt-cured, and if that makes you hungry, I apologize. That's why I didn't put a picture of any bacon or ham on the screen. What does it mean that our speech should be seasoned with salt? Matthew Henry explains it this way. He says, grace is the salt which seasons our discourse, makes it savory, and keeps it, our communication, from corrupting. In classical writers, salt expressed the wit with which conversation was flavored. Grace and salt make an ideal combination. Kindness with wittiness. Now, I feel like I need to pause here for a moment and distinguish the fact that there is a fine line between witty banter and harsh sarcasm. And it seems that there's a lot of witty banter and a lot of harsh sarcasm that is online and in text messages every day. And we've got to figure out which is which. Thesaurus.com, a website I use all the time, because sometimes I think of a word and I'm like, nobody knows what that word means. What's a better word for it? And then sometimes I'm like, oh, that word's too simple. I want something better than that. So I use it a lot. It uses these words to describe the word witty. Witty is a word that is amusing or fanciful, humorous, or brilliant, intelligent, entertaining, ingenious, bright. These are all words that are synonyms to the word witty. Let me get to my point here. Folks, there is nothing wrong with being funny. In fact, I love hanging around people who are fun and funny. There's nothing wrong with being funny, but when we find humor in degrading or humiliating someone else, we are no longer being kind in our communication. Our speech is no longer gracious and seasoned with salt. It's turned harsh, and we're pouring salt in the wound. In communication, the end does not justify the means. People are always worthy of respect. Even when we vehemently disagree with someone, the person still has innate human dignity. The person still is worthy of respect. It doesn't matter what they think. It doesn't matter what they look like. It doesn't matter what lifestyle they choose to live. It is our responsibility to give to them the respect that they deserve because they are created in the image of the Almighty God. They may choose to ignore God in their life, but they are created in God's image. And therefore, we must show them respect. How do we do that? We do that by telling them the truth and telling them truth with love and respect, with kindness. Words that sound unloving and disrespectful stomp the hearts of people and discredit us. We're the ones who are losing when we speak unkindly. I love what the Bible says in Luke 4, verse 22. It says this, "And all spoke well of him." Well, who are we talking about? We're talking about Jesus. It says, "All spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth." They spoke well of Jesus and were amazed at how gracious his words were as he spoke. And then I love the end of this of that sentence or that verse. It says, "And they said, is not this Joseph's son?" Catch this, y'all. They're amazed at how gracious and kind and loving this man is. And then the first thing they say is, "Isn't Joseph his daddy? How is this guy like this knowing Joseph?" That's kind of what I get from it. You know? Jesus' words were gracious and loving. Jesus' words were intelligent and captivating. Jesus' words were well received by the hearers. And Jesus' words were uncharacteristic of his earthly father. Folks, how often do we try to blame genetics and our family of origin for our unkindness and disrespect for others? Well, it's just who we are, right? Well, that's the way I grew up. That's the way I talk. You guys do know that I am always preaching to myself, right? Just in case you didn't realize that, this one's hitting me really hard between the eyes today. Folks, I am responsible for me. I cannot blame anyone else. God is at work. And some of us, the job's a little harder than for others, but God is at work conforming us to the image of his son. and therefore I must display his character traits in all of my communication. We read earlier in Colossians 3 how that we need to put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. What do we need to put on? We need to put on compassionate hearts. We need to put on kindness. We need to put on humility and meekness and patience. He goes on and says we need to bear with one another. And if we have a complaint against someone, we need to forgive them. Why? Because God forgave us. God forgave us. Why should we not forgive others when God has forgiven us of so much? And finally, he goes on and says, and put on love, because love binds all of it together in perfect harmony. God is at work in me, and I need to be displaying these traits in my communication. And folks, this finally, on our third point this morning, our communication will be character revealing. The way we communicate with others will reveal what's inside us, our character. My communication reveals who I am. Jesus said in Matthew 12, 34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What comes out of here is living inside here. And you say, oh, I don't know why I said that. I do. It's because who you are inside just blew up all over us. Dr. Egerich explained it this way. He said, we are not puppets manipulated by others' mistreatments. Though they may have negatively effect on our heart and hurt us, they do not control our words and actions. We are not under their spell. We are free at our core. Our response is right and is under our rule. They do not cause our responses. They only reveal our reactions. And then I love this picture that he gives us here. And it doesn't take much explanation. I think the point is going to be easily made as I read what he wrote. He said this: when we step on a rose, the sweet aroma ascends to our nostrils. When we step on a skunk, a different aroma ascends. Did the stepping on both cause the aroma? Or did it reveal the inner properties of the rose and the skunk? When others step on us, he says, they reveal who we are. When we respond to others with truth and kindness and love and respect, we are following God's example. We are displaying God's character. I want you to hear a testimony that someone once shared online. They wrote this. They said, one question I was asking God was this: how can I show love and respect toward a hurtful person who is mean to me? And then the Lord spoke to my heart, they wrote. And God said to me, I've been there. I know how you feel. Because I died for you. I did this toward you. And how do you treat me? Folks, this isn't an issue of me responding to people in the same way that they communicated to me or communicated with me. This is an issue of me responding to people the same way that God responds to me. The same way that God chose to treat me. That is my example. That is what I strive to do. Letting my communication be gracious toward others means that I will respond to them in the same way that God responds to me. I have a small framed print on my desk that serves as a constant reminder. And it says just this simple statement. It says, reputation is made in a moment. Character is built in a lifetime. And that is a reminder to me that don't do something stupid, Wade, or you can blow it. Folks, it only takes a very small amount of unkind and disrespectful speech to kill most communication and to ruin most relationships. You only have to be unkind once. You only have to say something mean-spirited one time, and they'll never forget it. I find it interesting that it only requires 0.5 grams. Do you know how much 0.5 grams is? That's almost nothing. 0.5 grams of cyanide to bring about certain death for a 160-pound adult man. 0.5 grams. Now, to put that into perspective, a teaspoon of salt is 7.2 grams. A teaspoon. A tablespoon is over 23 grams. But we're talking about 0.5 gram of cyanide can kill an adult man. That's half my size. But anyway, that's the statistic, so we'll just assume that 1 gram could kill me, all right? Harsh, unkind, and disrespectful words are poisonous. They can and they will kill. And folks, we must consistently guard against any form of unkind or disrespectful communication because it only takes a tiny bit. So I ask you today, to whom have you communicated recently or even way in the past maybe, disrespectfully and unkindly? To whom do you need to go and ask for forgiveness for the way that you've talked to them? The way that you've disrespected them? And then secondly, I want you to think back to some of the examples of unkind communication that John and I shared at the beginning of this sermon. And ask the question, is one of those you? As I was talking with my daughter this morning, I told her that I was participating in one of the skits, or the skit this morning, the dramatic vignette. Google it, anyway. And she said, okay, you don't normally do that. I said, well, yeah, but I'm uniquely qualified for this one. And she said, oh, that scares me, Dad. I didn't have to look far for examples of unkind and disrespectful communication because they've been so prevalent in my own life. And unfortunately, they're prevalent in a lot of our lives. What do you need to do today to change the way you communicate with people? Will you ask the question, is it kind, before you hit send? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word and how pertinent it is to our lives. Father, I know I fail you so often in this area. Father, I just pray that you'll work in my heart and in my life and those people around me to bring about a change, and that I will be conformed to the image of your Son. And Father, I just ask today that as we sing this song and we cry out to you saying, Lord, we need you. Father, I just pray that you would work in the hearts of each one here to help them realize how they need to respond in this moment to this message from your word. Father, I pray that they will respond. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.